How many times have you ever just sat down to relax and you looked around the room and suddenly something catches your eye? And then almost immediately your mind is taken back to that wonderful event, that wonderful experience, a wonderful piece of time, and our thoughts go back and we can practically remember every little detail of that precious memory as if it happened yesterday. You know, as we reminisce, we can go back to when those precious moments occurred and relive them over and over, but this time only in our minds. How many times have we gone on a trip as this one? And we've come here, and the first thing we see catches our eye, and we think back of all the precious memories that we have been through as we've come here to this convention. This is my first convention here to be with you, but as preparing for the PowerPoint, the pictures, I could tell when I got here, oh yes, that's a precious memory, because now I can see what that is. And it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, to experience. You know, our Heavenly Father gives us this ability. It would be very sad to go through life never having the ability of remembering those very important and precious memories and events in our lives. You know, so we can do what with them? So we can share them with one another, as we do each time we have a fellowship from 45 minutes here. We go over those precious memories, these special times that will remain with us for the rest of our lives. But what I was wanting to do is not only talk about precious memories, but also precious moments. Now you might ask, Brother Rick, isn't that the same thing? Well, let's see what the dictionary has to say about it. Webster defines precious as being of great value, a high price, highly esteemed or cherished, great. Memories are commemorative remembrances, the fact or condition on being remembered, a time in which past events can be remembered, an image or an impression of one that is remembered. Moments, minute portion or point of time, instant, comparatively brief period of time, present time. So with this in mind, we could say that precious moments are the times we are currently experiencing, and the precious memories are the results of those precious moments. They become our special experiences that are recorded and or stand out most in our minds, in our thoughts, so we can frequently go back to them and relive them over and over, to share with others who would also enjoy to listen to them and to get a blessing from them. So we're going to do something a little different this morning, because there's a reason that I just can't disclose right now. For just a moment or two, I would like for each of you, since we've had quite a bit of fellowship, to do something. In this brief, short period of time, I would like for each of you to just think of a moment in time that you and a brother or a sister shared precious moments with each other, which we mentioned are now precious memories. Recall that imprint, that record in your mind. And after we remember them and see them in our memories, don't we just appreciate them more? Every time we go over them, they become like precious jewels to us. Valuable. Priceless. And again, we thank our Lord for creating us with this ability. And not take it for granted. Because as we all know, there are those in the world who might not be as fortunate as we are and not have this ability, and they have disabilities that hinders their thought process. We should never take anything for granted that the Lord has given us. Now for a moment, I would like for you to close your eyes and think of those who are no longer here. Those who were a part of your class, a part of your individual lives. Those you might have known when you were very young. Those dear ones who have passed beyond the veil. And for this quick moment, remember some precious moments you had with them too. I know this can be very hard to do. Because yes, indeed, they are very precious. Very precious memories. And once again, we definitely thank our Heavenly Father not only for these precious memories, but for also bringing those precious individuals into our lives. Having the wonderful opportunity of being able to share, even if it was just a brief moment, with them in our lives, we are blessed by that experience. And now they are indeed precious memories to us. Now here's the reason for doing this little exercise, if you want to call it that. Out of those precious moments in time, what made them that way? What made them precious? Did you learn something from that individual? Did it make you realize about something about that person? Did you experience a change in your life some way? Or your manner? Were they able to teach you something that you never knew before? Did something become more clearer to you by the way they talked, or how they explained something to you, or by their example? Did you see something in them that made you love them even more? That's something to think about, isn't it? Have you ever stopped and just gave that a thought? You know, in fact, if we were to take everyone's memories, as I've asked you to do this morning, and bundle them all up into one category, one word, what do you think that word would be? Love. The answer is love. How important is it for us to love one another? 1 John 4:8. He that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is love. John 13:34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. And verse 35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love to one another. 1 John 4:11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And does this mean to just love those who are close to us? To those who are in our class? To those that we meet with? Our families? Or the brethren around the world? 1 Thessalonians 3:12, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. In the Bible Comments, Brother Russell mentions this about the word abound. The Lord's people are to increase in love continually until the love abounds and overflows in all the thoughts and words and conducts of life. So what we would like to do now is take a look at some of the wonderful and precious moments our Heavenly Father had, and then see how these precious moments set the example of what true and perfect love is all about, and how it encompasses much, much more. And from those precious moments, we are able to enjoy the precious memories found in the Holy Scriptures. As we mentioned just a moment ago, God is love. And with that in mind, we understand that He represents the highest form of love. There is nothing else that exceeds it. It's the essence of His beautiful and most wonderful character. And so we begin with the very beginning. The very beginning before time was, when God was completely all alone, the self-existent one. He has always been in existence. There's been no beginning for Him. And what is it that we know about Him? Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not. He was the same yesterday, the same today, and will be the same forever. And every attribute that we see and know of Him has been the same. Even if we go back millions of years, His attributes are still the same today. He is from everlasting to everlasting. Psalm 90 verse 2, and at that period, there was no one else, none like Him. Isaiah 46:9, He is the one that inhabiteth eternity. Isaiah 57:15, before the creation of this earth, which is also mentioned in that Psalm 90 verse 2. For it states, before mountains were brought forth, before the earth was formed, He is and will always be Jehovah God, our Almighty God. But as we see in the Scriptures, He had a plan. He wanted a heavenly family. And so all of this was thought out perfectly, even before the creation of this earth was done. and even before the firstborn of every creature was created. So at that moment, God created His first and only creation. And we know that this creation was in His image. To be the firstborn of every creature, as stated in Colossians 1:15. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Revelation 3:14. He was His delight, His joy, and He loved Him so very much. He was to be His mouthpiece, His special messenger. He was not only the first, as we said, the beginning of God's divine creation, but He was also the last. The Alpha and the Omega. As we see in Revelation 1:11 and 21:6. And He was the Logos. He was made in the highest order of created things. How precious He must have been in God's sight. What wonderful and precious moments we see of God's love for His creation. Because after He created Him, that was it. He stopped right there. And in His love for Him, He gave Him wisdom and power. John 3:35. The Father loved His Son so much that He gave Him all things into His hands so He could do all the other creative work. For it was His good pleasure, His love, His joy, that in His creation should all fullness dwell. Colossians 1:19. And this word fullness in this verse means unlimited or complete power. Since He was the expressed image of God. He also had His Spirit in the sense He was in His Father's likeness. For He had a perfect character, a perfect mind, which was also in full harmony with and one accord with His Father's. And not only did He have the mind or the spirit of the Father, but He also was given energy and power from Him too, and operated it through Him, so He was in fact a God. But He wasn't the Father. He wasn't the God. He wasn't Jehovah. But He was the Son of the Highest. All things were made by Him, the heavenly realm and everything else, mankind's needs. Without Him was not one thing made that was made. John 1:1-3. So let's make this a little clearer. This power all resided in the Father. Because everything is of Him and from Him, but through the Son, as His instrument and representative. And we see this in the words of the apostle in 1 Corinthians 8:6. But to us, there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him. And one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. And this verse also beautifully explains one more very important point or fact, and that is there is nothing said in this verse that the Father was the Son, or that the Son was the Father. But they were two separate, individual spirit beings at one time. Both were gods, both were creators, but one being superior while the other was his honored representative in both glory and in power. And his father loved him so much and pleased with him, and he was going to highly honor him. Psalms 89:27, it says, I will make him, my firstborn, higher than the kings of this earth. So in all this, we can appreciate the beautiful and close relationship they had between the two of them. Now, what dear and precious moments those times must have been. Our Heavenly Father watching over him, sharing all the things with him, and the Logos being completely obedient and submissive and humble to his Father. And in doing so, God shared his divine plan and purposes with him. Another wonderful, precious moment that must have been. Do you see the beginning and the end? To see how perfect this plan was. So came the creation of man. And in Genesis we read about the beginning. But we understand that was to mean the beginning of all the things on this earth. Not to be misunderstood by the beginning, we just went over the first creation of God being the Logos, because that's in the book of John, as we all know. So let's take a look at this moment in time. Genesis 1:26. God said, let us make man in our image. So who was he talking to? What kind of image? Well, it was the Logos, as we know. And him and his father had planned to create man in their image, in their likeness. Now, does that mean spirit being? No. But with the same characteristics, the same attitude, the same spirit that God had in the Logos were given. A likeness of perfect God, a likeness of the perfect God, but only in the earthly nature. Genesis 1:27. God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And we find this same thought found in Genesis 5:1 and in 9:6. 1 Corinthians 11:7, and in James 3:9. So what was God's reaction to this precious moment? The creation of man and woman. Well, in Genesis 1:31, God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Once again, it was perfect, pure, and he loved his creation, and it was created by his firstborn, the Logos, and God didn't create man to be like a robot. He created them with a mind to think, to be able to make decisions, to have a free moral agency. And he also knew that the creation of man would fall and be disobedient to his word. He knew all this before even creating this. But he showed his plan, his thoughts to the Logos before the foundation of the world. And in doing so, he presented to him the opportunity of being the one to change the direction of what this world was going through. And we knew that by his love for his father was of the highest, the most supreme love and the supreme level. You know, he probably didn't even give it a thought. Without hesitation and saying, yes, dear father, send me. And with this in mind, we can only imagine how the Heavenly Father must have really felt at that precious moment. To see and know of His Son's true and sincere love and devotion to do His will, to fulfill His plan. Just as with any parent would feel if their child desired to do something for them. Not being having any selfish deeds, but with humility and servitude along with their love and appreciation to do it just for them. And expect nothing back in return. I think most of us parents can appreciate that. But in this case, it wasn't just to do something and then go back to what he was. No, this would mean giving up his heavenly course, giving up his ability to share and to be with his Father as a spirit being, form of God. No, it was to fulfill his plan. And in doing so, he would have to give up all. To come down to earth and to be born, to grow, to become a man. And then the plan he knew required one more thing that he had to do. And that was he had to die. Did that change his mind? No, he willingly and completely volunteered to do it. Thus showing that he was indeed rich, but became poor for everyone's sake. He left the glory of the Father to carry out the Father's great and wonderful and loving plan for the salvation of mankind. John 6:38, for I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him who sent me. But even though this was a huge and great sacrifice, willingly done, coming down to earth, it was not the main purpose in his Father's plan. For in that plan, a sacrifice for sin must be made. So it was necessary for Jesus to become a man because it was in God's plan. And we see that the scriptures say that by man came death. So by man came also the resurrection or restoration of the dead. 1 Corinthians 15:21. A ransom price had to have been paid. And so for unto us a child was born, unto us a son was given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. The Logos became flesh. And he dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. For he was also perfect in all ways, holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. Hebrews 7:26. Now when this precious moment came to view, how did it affect the angel or the angels announcing his birth? And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Some of you were at the General Convention and were in the Melodies of Praise, and we had some pretty good voices. And it was a precious moment for me, and I'm sure for you too, those who were there. But here we have a multitude of heavenly hosts. You know, just close your eyes from them and imagine the most beautiful music, the most beautiful harmony you have ever heard. Precious moments for them. Precious memories for us to be able to read from His Word. Next we see our Lord Jesus walking toward John the Baptist. And what precious moment do we all know at this particular time? John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And Jesus wanted him to baptize him. Jesus had no sins. He didn't have to repent for anything. He didn't have to symbolically wash away anything. But he was doing, was offering his life, his human nature, as a living sacrifice. Submitting all of his will to the will of God. Consecrating it all to him, even unto death. Which is what we now know water baptism symbolizes. And what happened? Why was this a precious moment? Well, we see that the heavens opened up to him, and by God's love, he sent his Holy Spirit to him that descended upon him like a dove. And then what? We read the beautiful and wonderful expression of how God felt at this time for his Son. "For this is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." What a great and precious moment this was for our Lord and for our Heavenly Father and for John too, because he witnessed all this. Now he knew that Jesus was the Messiah. And this precious moment is also for all of who have found the same desire, the same love as Jesus had, to give up their all and to follow him and become living sacrifices, daily bearing our crosses and to do the Heavenly Father's will and to give up this earthly nature, that if faithful unto death, we too would have the opportunity of becoming the bride of Christ, the sons of God, to become a part of that heavenly family. So after that experience, our Lord Jesus, for the next 3.5 years of his life, was tested and proven, showing that he gave his all entirely, undeniably perfect, humbling himself. And so by the way he lived his life, was an example for all his disciples and all of us how we should be following in his footsteps. He was indeed in every sense a perfect representative of his Father's character, his image in the flesh. For it delighted him to do the will of his Father, even unto death. Dying on the cross, sacrificing his life for the benefit of the whole world of mankind, thus fulfilling God's plan to its fullest. And in so doing, he was worthy to receive all of the love and all of the admiration from his Heavenly Father, who highly exalted him raising him up to the divine nature and placed him on his right hand and rewarded him with honor and glory and power and might, giving him a name above every name. What glorious moments that must have been for our Heavenly Father and for His only begotten Son to go through. Now for us, we too might have the opportunity to share in some final precious moments with our loved ones or some with our dear brethren. And at those times, we usually reflect back over the many precious memories that we shared with them. You know, even though it's a huge, great loss to us when they pass, and how the sting of death just really hurts us all, doesn't it? For we know how it even affected our Lord Jesus when Lazarus died. What did he do? He cried. He showed his emotions just as we do when death touches our lives and our hearts. But we do have something that can bring us some relief from this terrible pain of death, and that is we first leave all things in the Lord's hands, of course, but by their examples. By the way, we saw how they lived their lives, showing how they were striving to be faithful to their consecration to the Lord. We know that if they did make their calling election sure, that we can be comforted from the words found in 1 Corinthians 15:52. For in that moment, in the twinkling of an eye, they shall be changed. What a precious moment this is. To be instantaneously changed from this sinful dying flesh, this old body, to a spiritual body. Thus having the same divine nature that even our Lord and Heavenly Father have, along with all the rest of the body of Christ. For precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Psalms 116:15. Then what will be the next moment? To be with Him forever. To be with our Lord and our Heavenly Father forever. Now, doesn't that give us some comfort in knowing that precious moment? Philippians 3:21, who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body? And in 1 John 3:2, beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. What a joyous and precious promise and moment that will be for them and for us too, if we are faithful and are more than overcomers. In addition to all this, to hear our Heavenly Father and our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter thou into, and we can add a word here that says, share. So enter thou into and share in the joys of the Lord. What a precious moment that would be. So brethren, let me conclude with some thoughts found in Harvest Gleanings 3, from words from Brother Russell, who so beautifully puts into perspective just how loved we are by the Heavenly Father. He starts off by mentioning what was and still is in our hearts, and that is, take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. We often fear that our moments may not always praise the Lord as they ought, and our days are not always just what we would like them to be. But our Lord lovingly answers our troubled hearts by saying this, I know even better than you do how imperfect you are in word and deed. But through Christ, I receive you and accept your imperfect works and endeavors. He will make up for you unavoidable deficiencies. So we take courage and we strive that our days, our hours, our moments may indeed bring glory to our King, who so loves us and whom we so love. End quote. So, dear brethren, let us look to those exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might become partakers of the divine nature. And let each of us count each and every moment of our lives now as precious moments. So in return, they too can become precious memories.